closer to the completion of it, the people get more and more excited. Oh, when will it be done? I want to move my stuff in here. I can't wait. When are you going to hook the water up? And we got that hooked up this week and put the knobs on, and most of it's all finished now, so they can start to move their stuff in. It's always exciting when you think of life and you do certain projects and people get excited. And we need to be excited, too, about the things that we've learned and follow God's way. I'd like to look at something today in Matthew 4. We'll start there today in Matthew 4. We should be excited about this because it's so different than the rest of the world, the way they're living, what God has taught us and opened our minds to. It's really a gift. It's altogether different than what the world is doing. Matthew 4, it's in the beginning of chapter 4. Matthew 4 Jesus was tempted by Satan. We won't go to that point. We'll drop down to verse 12. Start in verse 12. And my subtitle is, it's when Christ starts his ministry. Now when Jesus heard that John, he's talking about John the Baptist, had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. That great light was the Savior, Jesus Christ, coming and revealing knowledge. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. It's like there's a light has arisen, perhaps on a dark, dreary night. It's been snowing all night. Everything's black. You can't see hardly anything outside when you look out. And then when the sun comes up and the storm passes, it's a bright light. Well, it's like that. It's a bright, altogether different change. Jesus Christ had come. And verse 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ's ministry was beginning. We know what that means, repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. That means that he's going to call people. He's going to teach them different ways. To become a follower of Jesus Christ, a man must turn away from his self-centeredness. He must change his ways, of course. And he must turn to a life that follows Christ and the direction that Christ wants us to lead. In verse 18 to 22, we don't have to read there, but it talks about Peter. And they were fishermen. Peter and Andrew are called. And then John and James and John are called. And they were fishermen, and we know that account. In verse 23, we'll read there, it says, and Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching. So one of the things he did is he was teaching. In the synagogues, he preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So he was preaching. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching about the gospel of the kingdom. And he healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. So there were three areas. He was teaching, he was preaching about the kingdom of God, and he was healing the sick. Then, the next thing is what? The Sermon on the Mount. And that's today, that's what I want to look at. One particular point on the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in Matthew 5, verse 3. We'll read that. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does poor in spirit mean to you and to me? What should it mean? What do we understand what that means? In Matthew 5, 1 and 2, it says, and seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So he must have been up on some kind of mound, so that it was like, and they were down on the plain, and when he spoke, his voice carried. He didn't need a microphone like. He must have had a good voice, and he must have went down through, and everyone could hear. Wasn't like us, and the height gave him the ability to be able to be accomplished. I was up in at the feast this year. We went to a mansion up there. I forget the gentleman's name, but it was patterned after Lafayette's castle or mound over in France. He was a Frenchman. And they had a place like this where he would stand at one spot. They did it reversed. They had it, he was down in the valley, and the people were on the hill, and then it just rose up out of there, and he could speak to them. They had concerts there and so forth. Well, that was quite interesting. Today, let's look at Matthew 5. What does poor in spirit mean? The kingdom, if you read on and you read about those different points of this blessed are, there it says poor in spirit is one. In verse 4 it says those who mourn is two. The fifth verse it says about being meek. The sixth is who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the seventh is mercy, be merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Be pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, and then there's about being a peacemaker, and for they shall be called the sons of God, the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So he gave numerous points besides this one about being poor in spirit. Actually, there were 8 points. They all tell different values of what God wants in his kingdom, don't they? They're all telling different principles that he wants that man's government don't have. It describes what we should be developing in this life as Christ's disciples. Remember, he called those disciples Peter and James and John and Andrew, and he was teaching them. He had called probably other ones as well, or they were at least following after. And they were learning that being disciples, and we are to be learned to be disciples. So it is describing what we should develop in this life. These values are opposite of Satan's world. Satan's world's governments are about selfishness, their pride, they have a lot of pride, and a lust of power. And there's many other things in our society. But in Matthew 5:3, it says, what does poor in spirit mean? I think the example tells, and we can look at other places, and we can look at examples, but in Isaiah 57, verse 15, let's go there and see what it describes there. Isaiah 57, 15. In Isaiah 57, 15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one. We know, if we keep reading, we know who that is. Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. It's talking about God, Jesus Christ. I dwell in high and holy places. And then he says, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to reveal the spirit of the humble and to reveal the hearts of the contrite ones. So here Christ, of course, is the Holy One of God, and he came to save us by being our Passover for our sins. Christ is our Savior. By coming to the level of a physical human being, he had to come to a physical human being because we couldn't go to his plane of spiritual being, a spiritual level. So he came to our physical level and paid the penalty for our sins. We'll add all these together, and then at the end we'll show what it means. In Psalm 51, 1 and 2, David, this is a prayer of David's when he committed some of the sins that he had. And in Psalm 51, in verse 1 and 2, notice what it says here. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. So he says, for your loving kindness, your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, and wash thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. So David was praying, his prayer captured what poor in spirit means. Because he realized how powerful our great Creator God is and how lowly us humans really are. James 4 tells us a little more about poor in spirit in James 4, verse 7. Notice what it says here. James 4 and verse 7, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. And then he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. James tells us how to be in a right frame of mind so God can work with us. I think a very fine example of an individual who tells us about what poor in spirit is in Job. Let's go to Job 40. God revealed something to Job that we all need to take to heart and helps us understand what poor in spirit really is. In Job 40 and verse 1, let's start there. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Shall a man correct God? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Notice Job's response. He says, then he answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will receive no farther. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me, God said. Would you indeed annul my judgments? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? God asked Job. Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then abhor yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Despise the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Can you do that, man, Job? Look at everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their places. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that you, your own right hand, can save you. Let's go to Job 42, verse 1 through 6. Notice what Job answers after God questions him. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Job understood that. He got it. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, let me speak, Job says. Yes, yet you said, listen to me and let me speak, you said. I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ears, Job said, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job got the point. He realized that God was superior. Blessed is the poor in spirit. If we go back to Matthew 5 and verse 3, you can see what it says there about blessed is the poor in spirit. It's a person who walks in a humble frame of mind with God. He tells us God's rule is going to be different than man's rule. It's a great part of God's government, knowing who God is and where we fit into his plan. It should make us all humble. We need to stay in that poor, humble frame of mind. As we go back and read Matthew 5, verse 3. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is a great part of God's government, knowing who God is and where we fit into his plan. It certainly is very humbling.